2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and you'll turn there if you will, please. Chapter number 1, and I'm not going to try to read the whole of this chapter, so come down with me near, well, right at the end of the chapter. And Paul says, verse number 20, "For all the promises of God are in him are yea, and in him, amen." Do you know what that means? Yes. Do you have any idea what that means? Yes. That means that the promises of God are as sure as God himself. That's exactly what it means. The promises of God are as sure as God himself. Under the glory of God by us. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. God sent us to do this thing. God put us on the road. God gave us this anointing. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. How about that? I don't know that there's a greater passage of Scripture in the New Testament dealing with this very thought that you and I are sealed. And that word sealed is a very important word. And we have been given the earnest of the Spirit. We'll talk about those two words tonight and try to squeeze a little bit of juice out of it if we can. Father, give us much grace tonight. Now here in these two verses I read to you, actually the three, but the two that I'm concerned with is the verses 21 and 22. And Paul recognizes the fact that God has given him the anointing, established him, made him what he is, and then anointed him to do what he's called him to do. But then he uses two words in this verse number 22 that we want to try to deal with in these moments tonight. Both the word sealed and the word earnest. Now the word sealed is an important word. Well, both of them are. The word sealed is the word is phrenedzō. Phrenedzō. And it simply means to stamp. If you stamp something, then that stamp marks it with a particular meaning. If you put a stamp on a letter, then the United States Post Office guarantees to deliver that because the stamp is on it. Now you try to mail it without the stamp, it'll be right back in your box. Postage due, right? Now, well, sometimes they'll send it, but postage is due on the other side. Somebody's got to pay if this thing goes. It's got to have a stamp on it. Is that right? So the seal is important. So important that many things can never be done without that seal. Nearly every culture known to man has some kind of a seal that identifies the owner or the originator of that particular article, whatever it may be. If you're driving an automobile, there's a seal on that thing somewhere. There's something to identify what it is. The engine inside, there's numbers to identify. And names have been stamped to identify what it is. The tires have been identified. The parts are all identified. What I'm saying to you is that this seal is explicitly important. First of all, it is a sign of power. The first thing we think of, or I do, when I think about a seal, is when Christ was buried. Remember, the chief priest came to Pilate and said, "Hey, listen, there's a possibility that somebody's going to steal that man's body. And we want you to make sure that that doesn't happen. We want you to put a seal on it. I like what Pilate said. Do you realize that there's a lot of times in your Bible that God uses the words of a non-believer to say something that'll resonate in our minds? Now, he said, make it as sure as you can. I don't know, but you know that some things happened with Pilate during the trial of our Lord Jesus, if you read your Bible well. And he tried to get out of this. Now that he's dead, and he's aware that it's been said that he's going to raise from the grave, and these religionists come to tell him to do something, they're afraid it's going to happen too. And they wanted to make sure that it didn't happen if they could keep it from happening. But there's just some things you can't stop. Did you ever try to stop a freight train with a white flag somewhere? Maybe stand out in front of a log truck, hold your hand up. You look like a fritter in a minute. See, there's some things you just can't stop. And you don't stop God from doing what he said he was going to do. And though they put a seal on that stone that covered that tomb, I don't know how they did that. I've seen many dramatizations of it as to how they took cords and put it over the stone, and every end of every cord had a seal on it. What in the world would make you think that those seals are going to keep God from doing what he's fixing to do? That body inside that tomb's coming out of that. But the first time we note this seal per se in connection with the body of Christ is here at this tomb. But this seal didn't hold. However, it represented the power of the Roman Empire. Now let me just say something here. The Roman Empire was the most powerful nation under the sun at the time. Two angels. How about that? He didn't send a legion. Two angels overpowered the Roman Empire and rolled the stone away. Not to let him out, but to let us see in. For he had already came out. Though the seals were on the stone, he had already left. But it represents power. Power of a nation. The power of an empire in this case. That mark, that seal. All of us have seen it from time to time. How many of you remember the detective story Dragnet? Remember that? Remember at the end of every one of those Dragnet episodes, that's what I'm looking for, episodes, remember how they took that big hammer and hit that mark and it left the mark behind? That's a seal. If you have a dollar bill in your pocket, it has a seal on it. Now let me assure you of something else. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a seal on you. Absolutely. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, after that you believe, you are sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. Once we believe, we're sealed. Absolutely. Now we've all talked about this. My brother Gary, myself, we've talked about this down through the years as to how we'd sit at night and listen to the jars seal after we'd canned beans or something all day long. I was talking to some folks the other day, and they was kind of wore out because they'd canned 30 quarts of beans. I said, have mercy on your dear soul. We used to can hundreds of quarts of beans and multiplied numbers of half gallons of beans. Oh, yeah. What'd you do with all them? Eat them. Absolutely. Amen. A big bait of green beans and cornbread and some milk. Glory! Marriage supper already. But all of these things being said, we come to this realization that every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have been sealed. Not with that took place when the jar is sealed, but by the Spirit of God Almighty. And I remember, this is a sign of power. It is the sign of a kingdom. You have been sealed by the kingdom of God Almighty if you belong to the Lord Jesus. The sign of power. Secondly, it's a sign of possession. We use locks today. Back in days gone by, they used seals. That seal marked the possessions of an individual or of a nation or what have you. That seal meant that it wasn't yours. It belonged to the one who had sealed it. Well, if you just put a rope around something, you put a seal on it. You've claimed it is yours, and that seal is there to let others know that it doesn't belong to them. It's not up for grabs. Well, that's exactly what the Lord's done to us. I love this little note here. Simon Peter said that we are a peculiar people. Now, most of us think that means, you know, you kind of hit the wall a couple of times. But listen to me. Think about this for a moment, if you will. That is owned by someone else is not yours. That is owned by someone else who has the power, you can't take it away from them. That has been sealed by the Holy Ghost belongs to heaven, and nothing can take that seal away. And nothing can claim that has been sealed thereby. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? All of those things that are listed cannot separate us from God. Cannot take away the seal that the Holy Ghost has put upon us. We are possessed. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to Him. Then it makes a picture. Remember how this thing's done now. The wax is melted and poured in place. And then the seal, whether it be a ring or something else, the seal is put upon it. And when that marker is removed, guess what stays there? The impression of that seal is still there. Now, you're not here yet, are you? Catch up with me. Get by that red light that you stopped that there just a moment ago. Let me help you a little bit. Look at this. We are marked with a seal of God Almighty. That seal marks us with something about us that makes us look like the seal. Now, the seal is only able to picture the mold when it is melted. Remember what my brother said a moment ago. When it's soft, when it's melted, then the picture can be made. Now the facsimile appears. It's not the real thing, but it's a picture of the real thing. You're not the real thing in spite of what the Mormons may tell you. You're not the real thing, but there's something about us that looks like another world. We're strangers in this world. We don't even belong here. We're citizens of another world. But there was a time when I was running all around the world that when I saw an individual, I knew where they belonged. Nowadays, everybody's so messed up, you don't know where they belong. You've got to hear this. I've got to tell this. A friend of mine was telling me, said he worked some Mexicans. And he worked some black folks, too. And when the mess was going on, you know, about the election, before it had taken place, one of those black fellas walked up to the boss man and he said, "Boss man, if Mr. Trump gets elected president, I'm going to leave this country." He said, "But where are you going?" He said, "Man," said, "I'm going to load my family up. We're going all the way to Florida." I said, right there is a good demonstration of the mental aptitude of Democrats. And you're welcome. They all graduate from the same school, evidently. Hang on now. Get a hold of this. There's something about us that looks like heaven. Do you realize that you can be among people and a kindred spirit can walk by and it's visible? Invisible to those about us, but visible to we who know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. You see, that witness between each other proves to us that the seal is there. Amen. Sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. Every single believer. Now let's move to our next word. The word earnest. This word is hard to pronounce. Most words, as far as the Greek words are concerned, are fairly easy to pronounce when you get the gist of how they're pronounced. But this one's hard to pronounce. Let me just spell it for you. It's spelled A-R-H-R-A-B. Now you think of that second syllable in that word. H-R-A-B. It's just out of kilter, isn't it? Looked like it ought to be H-A-R-B. But it's H-R-A-B. And then, of course, O-H-N. We can get the last part of it. But the word simply means a pledge. To lay down a pledge. Earnest. Every nation under the sun, again, has something along this line. You've heard down payment, right? Down payment means more than just you put down some money. When you make a down payment, then you have said to whoever you're buying from that you're going to finish the contract. That begins the contract. Yes. Now think about this. Whether you pay another dime or not, you're obligated because you paid the down payment. This is a glorious truth in your Bible. Paul said, we have the earnest. Let me say it to you like this. We have the pledge. We have the down payment of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in our hearts is God's pledge that He's going to finish the process of salvation and bring us out on the other shore belonging to Him. Nothing will stop the process once it starts. Once the Holy Ghost begins, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, glory. So the Holy Ghost is given us. And now that the Holy Ghost is given us, we know. Are you listening to me? Boy, this gives the Armenians, the old preachers of days gone by used to say, high blood. Well, this gives the devil high blood and his cohorts, the Armenian crowd, high blood because they can't figure out what it's all about. And they think you can lose it tomorrow. What God begins, God finishes. When the Holy Ghost is given you, you just mark her down, honey. One of these days, you're going to be walking a street of gold, shouting, praising God, and you're going to be in another world with Him. That we have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the down payment that God is going to purchase this product. Now, we're not much product, but we're purchased. I said to my wife the other morning, I said, honey, I'm not much, but I've all you got. And we ought to say that to God every once in a while. God, I'm not much, but I'm all you got. You belong to me and I belong to you. Hallelujah. That won't change. That cannot change because the earnest of the Spirit, God has begun this thing in our hearts. I've always said to you, and I've preached down through the years and turned a few folks on their head, but the fact is that salvation is not an instantaneous thing. Salvation is an ongoing thing, a completing thing. Now, you're assured for heaven the moment God saves you. Let me just go back a little further. You're sure for heaven when God Almighty put your name in the book as you are the day you die and step off on the other shore. Did you get that? You're sure for heaven. But this thing of God working this thing out in you is a continual thing. Every day of your life, God is doing something toward making you what He will have you be in days to come. You're not grown up yet. You know how I know that? Because you're still here. You're still in school. You haven't got it all together yet. That's why the saint don't have funerals. We have graduation services. We've reached that point to where God's graduating us and taking us on to the other side. It is a fulfilling thing, and it is a filling full thing. God marks us by His Spirit, and God completes the task of redemption. Paul says it like this, a little word from the legal side, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. How about that? It's really not over until these old bodies are redeemed. Experientially, your soul is redeemed tonight. But it's not over until the body is redeemed, until the change comes. And it's going to come. Paul said it this way, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump. For the trump of God shall sound. And we which are alive and remain shall be, what's the word?
Changed.
Changed. There it is. There's that redemption of the body. You see, those of us who do not die will be changed in the natural body and become like the body of Christ after the resurrection. Those of us who go through the grave will be resurrected with that glorified body. And we'll all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody making fun one day said, looks like the folks who don't die are going to get about a 6-foot jump on the folks that are dead. Get there first. No. No. The scripture says, caught up together. So there won't be any races concerned. We'll all get there at the same time. We used to get in the airplane or the car or whatever. We'd be traveling. And my kids, and Ginger as well, had the capability of when the engines were running on that airplane, they'd sleep. I mean, it's boom sleep. Angie'd be asleep before I'd leave the runway. But they wake up somewhere along the road and say, "Daddy, where are we? Daddy, when are we going to get there?" My word was always this: as soon as I get there, you'll be there. We'll all try to get there together. Well, that's the way it's going to be when he calls us out of here. We're all going to get there together. None of us will be ahead of the other. We'll all get there together. All arrive at the same time. So, well, how can that happen? You ask God about it when you get there. I don't have an answer for that. But I'm grateful to God for the seal, and I'm grateful to God for the earnest of that seal, for the down payment that God is going to finish what he said, what he set out to do. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but God has never set out to do anything that he didn't accomplish. You know what we need to learn to do? We need to learn to be like Angie was. Just relax and enjoy the trip. That might be all right to kind of get shook every once in a while and say, where are we in this thing? I often do that. Lord, where are we in this thing? How close are we? You know what my answer is? You'll all get there at the same time. Isn't that strange? We'll all arrive at the same time. God's never seen fit to show mankind when it's going to be. Isn't that something? Isn't that strange? He's never seen fit to show men when it's going to be. Well, the same thing was true with his first coming. They knew where. They knew how, but they didn't know when. We know that it's coming, but we don't know when. But I've always said this. The Holy Spirit teaches us to look for Jesus to come today. Right now. It is an instantaneous thing with the Holy Ghost. That's why when these fellas start running off on this tangent, you know they're not led of the Holy Ghost. When they sit down, try to figure it out, and start setting dates, it's not the Holy Ghost doing that. The Holy Ghost makes you think it's today. If you think Jesus could come today, if you're looking for him today, then the Holy Ghost is directing you in that direction. But if you think it's going to be out yonder somewhere, you might better check up. Jesus could come tonight. Before this service is over tonight, Jesus could come. And he might just do that. And the reason we know he's going to come is because the Holy Ghost has sealed us. We have the earnest of the Spirit within us. And that earnest of the Spirit says he's going to finish what he started. The last and final payment on your salvation was made 2,000 years ago. Nothing else to pay. It's all done. The only thing left to do is just be there. Father, in Jesus' name, encourage our hearts in these days. And especially as we think of the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit possessing us. The Holy Spirit putting the picture of Christ in us. And he sealing us until the day of redemption. And then he himself living within us as the down payment.